It's time again for the Scotty Johnny Podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam. Talking Wisconsin sports, two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what he read on Twitter. With music by Duluth Greats, Cars and Trucks, here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome in to the Scotty Johnny Podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, and with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam.
Hey, John, what's happening, man?
Not a great deal so far, I guess, for me today, but yes. It's been a pretty interesting week in terms of Wisconsin sports. It's been a lot of fun here so far, so we'll get started talking this part. Remember, you can follow the podcast on Twitter. At Scotty Johnny Pod. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host. Aaron, where do people follow you on the Twitter box?
You can find me at number one White Claw fan, John, at number one White Claw. No, that's not what it is. That's my alter ego. Let me get that back together. You can find me at Cheddar Talk, John, at Cheddar Talk. That's the place to go to find me. Where am I at for followers these days? I was at 300 for a bit.
I don't know. I don't keep track of that for you. That's your deal, man.
I have to. I have a fragile eagle. I need to. I'm at 302. Okay, so I'm staying on the top side of 300, barely, but I'm there.
All right, man.
I mean, if anybody else wants to follow me, that'd be great. I mean, it doesn't mean anything to me. I can take care of myself. I don't need your approval, but if you want to follow me, that'd be great.
Everybody, he needs your approval. Please help him out.
I do. I am weak.
Remember, you can, of course, find this podcast at Google Play, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, any number of other places, of course, wherever it is you find your wonderful podcasts. Remember, please, to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. It does help other people find the podcast and, of course, gets our name out there. Big shouts out to our lovely followers over in the Netherlands and, of course, our friends in Canada and the UK who obviously come for the Packer talk and stay for the Bucks and Badgers. And maybe sometimes for Brewers, I guess. I'm not sure. But anyhow, we're going to kick things off right away here and get right into our sports talk as we give you our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, Aaron, we're going to start with Packers because we always start with Packers. So the couple things we're going to get to, the little bit of talk that people have is free agent stuff. So the free agent stuff we want to talk about this week, we're going to start getting more into our kind of deep dive draft stuff. We're going to bring in some other people who do this more frequently. We've been in touch with Andy Herman, who will join us closer to April because he's still a lot of those guys. I mean, the combine just ended. None of these people have finished putting together their final grades because it's too early for that. And there's too much information left and there's pro days left to get to and everything. So we're still working through some of this. Everybody who's too clear right now, we'll wait and see. Stuff is going to come out yet. So,
Andy Herman, from where he was last year to where he is this year, when we had him on last year to this year, it's how much he's grown. It's insane. It really is. I mean, he was a busy man last year. Now he's one of the top ones that's not in the mainstream media for Packer coverage. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, he's great. Get any bit of his insight over on the Pack-A-Day podcast. It's always a good listen to as well. Kind of round out some of your Packer talk as well as of course, the Acme Packing Company and Paul Noonan's reporting is eligible.
Right. But, and also, too, when Andy comes on, we'll give you a heads up. You're going to want to bring your funnels that day because that's going to be a fire hose of information coming at your face and in your ear holes. So, when Andy's on, I have a hard time keeping up, and I'm a trivia buff. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that'll be fun, and that'll be coming up in probably towards the end of March here, or maybe early April. We'll see. We're working out details with Aaron. His camp is talking to my camp. It's a whole deal.
His lawyer, lawyer. Right. Wait, you're a lawyer.
I am a lawyer.
Do you have a lawyer?
No. I could get one pretty easily. I know all of the attorneys around here, so...
You know who my lawyer is?
Who's that?
You.
Yay!
Thankfully, hey, John, I did something tonight. I need you to come help me.
Let's not talk about it on the air.
Do you have any lime? And I need a shovel. no.
Names to think about here. Names that we're thinking about right now. Biggest spot that everybody talked about at the end of last year, other than wide receiver, because it's a wide receiver draft, and wide receivers aren't a free agent position very frequently. All right, right. You trade for them, you bring them in other ways, but we're going to focus on starting off with the inside linebacker position.
Right.
There's three names that come up a lot, and we'll go through them this way. Corey Littleton, who played last year with the Rams, Nick Kwiatkowski, who people might know because he's a Bear until, I guess now he's a free agent, former Bear. And the other name that some people bring up is Joe Schobert, former Badger, has played his entire career with Cleveland so far. I've had some people say things like, oh, he's too slow and old. He's the same age as Blake Martinez and is faster. Has more passes defended, plays better coverage, tackles just as much. He led the league in tackles a couple years back. They're both tackle machines. Joe Schaubert's a little faster. They're both looking, at least they're talking about trying to get $10 million each per year. Those guys are kind of the same guy.
Right.
Schaubert's a little faster, a little better in coverage. Blake's probably a little more stout. He's got a little more, body to him, a little thickness to him that I think makes him a better tackler in between the tackles, but they're both good tacklers.
Maybe between the guards.
Yeah, between the guards.
Yeah, Blake's got a very good forward motion.
Yeah.
That's about it. Yeah.
So I don't think that one's the big one I want to focus on, because I think that whatever the other has strengths in, that gets matched by strengths elsewhere by the other guys. So the two of them are both.
Littleton's going to cost a lot, isn't he?
I don't know. Kwiatkowski and Littleton are the ones that come up a lot, because first off, I think Littleton's probably the catch of the inside linebackers in the group that's available here.
Right.
Littleton, if people who don't know, he is a great coverage linebacker. He flies. Absolutely. He's all over the field. He can cover tight ends, which is the biggest weakness on the Packers defense. Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's intriguing to me, is that I think I'd be happy with giving up some inside runs to get some better coverage and some tackling to the outside. Because, all that space in between the tackles, that's plugged up nicely by the current, inside linebacker. But I think that's what everyone's kind of talking about, is like, can we get that inside linebacker who can cover George Kittle and whoever else? So that's the only tight end I could get in my head right off the bat.
Well, he killed us in the one game.
Who didn't do anything against the Packers, because he didn't have to.
Well, he did in the first game. He had gigantic play and a couple other nice ones. The first game, he played pretty huge. Yeah, Littleton can do that. Kwiatkowski, I've been following him because I put it out on Twitter this week. I wrote the Acme Packing pre-draft evaluation of Kwiatkowski back when he came out in the draft initially. I like Nick Kwiatkowski. Do you know he played three different positions in 3 years at West Virginia?
You just like him because he has a good Polish last name.
This is a good name, isn't it? Yeah.
Sorry, I don't mean to bust you on the podcast, but there you go.
No.
You're stereotyping and profiling.
What I also like is he's massively fast. He was one of their top tacklers. He played safety. They needed a linebacker. He put on 25 pounds of muscle and moved to linebacker.
Very Urlacher kind of thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, he's not a huge guy. He's 235. He's the kind of linebacker that the league is moving to now in the pass happy sorts of places they have, which, against Dalvin Cook, maybe plays you at a disadvantage, giving up some of that size, but he gets there and he makes tackles and he can cover. I mean, he should have had a massive interception against the Packers that might have cost us one of the Bears games, but didn't end up pulling it down. But he normally does pull that one down.
Which is another reason to like him.
Yeah, he really does cover, and he's got good ball skills. The guy was a starting safety at West Virginia. And then because the team needed him, he just put on muscle and moved to linebacker. He was a later round pick. He wasn't somebody everybody talked about when he came out, but I really liked Nick Kwiatkowski. Like I said, moves to the ball well, moves there with energy. He tackles very well, uses his arms very well. He reads plays very well, and he's got good quickness and good speed. He gets the ball with violence. I've always enjoyed him. I think he's a little smaller than Littleton. I guess I'm not sure. I didn't pull up his exact height and weight, but Littleton's a little larger character, generally speaking, from watching the two of them. I didn't look up his weight, but he's watching the Rams a bunch this year. He definitely looks larger than Kwiatkowski. I think I prefer Littleton, but I think Kwiatkowski is going to be more in what we can afford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. As much as I'd like to have Littleton, it kind of hamstrings you as to what other money to spend on free agency. And let's be perfectly honest, the Packers kind of shelled out a ton of money on defense last year for free agency and none on offense, right? I think they just kind of rolled into the season with who they had.
I'm entirely wrong too on size. Corey Littleton's 228. He's 6'3", 228.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No. So you got to imagine he's got to be smaller anyways. There's no giant linebackers that have massive coverage skills like that. You have to give up something. You have to give up speed for size.
Unless you got Bernardrick McKinney, who is, he's 6'4 or something. He's a big dude.
And that's what made Ray Lewis so good, was that he was big and fast. That's one thing. As much as I'd like them to spend on money on Littleton, that'd be so much money just tied up in the linebacking core alone, which, I mean, I guess isn't the worst place to have your money tied up in. But, I mean, between the Smith brothers, if you're just tie up Littleton, too, I mean, you'd be talking, what's that, $45 million, $40 million in cap space on three positions, and they're all the same position, basically-ish. They're the linebackers. Yeah. So, I mean, I'd be surprised to see how much, if the cap goes, is the cap affected by the CBA? I forgot.
By the TV contracts, which will be affected by the CBA possibly.
Okay. So, I mean, the cap's going to go up a little bit. So, I mean, that'll at least afford them some of that. But the Packers have $20 million in cap space to work with. And I don't know how that works out with the rookies coming in, if that's already allotted or what that is, but it's $20 million. And you're going to have one shot at one big free agent, and then you got a lot of other holes to plug. I mean, the Packers still need a pass catcher. Let's just call it that. So, you know, as we said last week, wide receiver, tight end, it doesn't matter, you know, if you can get a good tight end that's the same as a good wide receiver these days. If you tie up all that money in linebacker, man, that's a ton of money. Oh, and they went out and got the safety.
Amos.
Bears. Amos, thank you.
So, well, that leads into the next point. If we steal a linebacker from the Bears and we have a linebacker who's going free agent, if they pick up Blake Martinez, we could have the same thing as last year, where the Bears will tell us all how smart it was to switch Martinez for Kwiatkowski, and then the season will have to bear it out. As every Bears fan now seems to recognize that Ha-Ha does not play a lot of defense. Which is sad, because he's on the defense.
The amount of crap that came out of Chicago last year preseason about how much better Ha-Ha was going to be than Amos, and then as the season panned out, it was like, oh yeah, I guess the Packers fans were right. Kind of like whenever any Packer signs with the Vikings. Remember when Desmond Bishop let go by the Packers because he was hurting? All the Vikings fans were like, biggest mistake the Packers ever made. This guy's a beast. He's going to blah, blah, blah. He played like three games and was done.
Yeah, other than Brett Favre, none of them have done much to really hurt us.
Right.
Well, Longwell, I guess, too. He was very, very good for a little while.
Longwell was just consistent, yeah.
The other one, I guess, which would be a guy who's we've talked about recently here and has been all over Twitter recently is, and speaking of letting somebody go and likely ending up in Minnesota, Brian Bulaga appears unlikely to return to the Packers now, is all the word right now. So this is something it seems like the Packers were prepared for. We definitely had, Veld here over last year who stepped in. They have played and at least practiced in the preseason with moving. Now I'm blanking. Our new guard from last year, Taylor, or is it? No, not
Elgin,
Taylor.
Elgin Jenkins.
No, no, no. The guy we signed free agent. And I can see is Turner, Billy Turner, moving Billy Turner out to right tackle. Sorry about that, Turner.
What a Wisconsin sports podcast we are. Help me again here. What was that young feller's name who played offensive line for the
Packers
last
year? I can only see his face
because,
you know, he's got with his face and his hair and everything. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, Billy Turner, they did practice with him out at right tackle quite a bit in the preseason last year and gave him some shots at that. So it's something it looks like they were prepared to have happen. He had played tackle with Denver and some of his other stops. So, yeah, it's entirely possible that's something they look at doing. And, you know, they're going to have to find something here. It's hard to keep an offensive line together forever or, you know, for consecutive years even in this league. So we'll see. It looks like they're just not getting closer to a contract right now. And I haven't heard any buzz on it.
No, and we're going to have one more year into Elgin Jenkins' second year in the league. So he's going to get better. Oh. You know, Lindsley's solid at center. Hopefully Bakhtiari figures out whatever was going on last year with some of his faults. But, I mean, we've got three super solid offensive linemen, you know. So it's I don't want to go Minnesota Vikings on the bit and just completely ignore the offensive line.
No, no.
Because it's important. But, I mean, I read an article earlier, and I wish I could I'm not even going to quote it because I can't remember exactly what it was, and I don't know who put it out there, but I saw it. And it was from a reputable news organization, not just from, Wisco Disco or something like that.
Oh,
but
not
that I don't appreciate Wisco Disco's opinion, but it was from Pack-A-Day podcast or from Acme Packing or something that said the value of offensive line outside of left tackle has been blown way out of proportion.
Oof.
and that you can get away with, you know, having some people on your line that, you know, as long as your entire line isn't like C average or less, you're okay.
It depends on how you run your offense too.
Right. And like, because that's what they were talking about was about how the 49ers run their offense.
Ball has to come out fast. You plan to move and you work your schemes to having a lot of things go in different ways. Then sure. And I think it's what that we want to do, but I don't know that exactly right now that's the way we actually do run everything, especially with Aaron wanting to hold the ball as often as he does and as long as he does.
I hope LaFleur was watching what Shanahan was doing with their, that's a 49ers fullback.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think.
Juszczyk.
Yeah. I hope that they paid attention to that and said, this is what we're going to do with Danny Vitale, because that guy at fullback is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
He's unreal.
There's nothing Juszczyk does that Vitale can't. I mean, they're both. I'm not saying that in a way to knock Juszczyk, because I think they're both great at what they do.
No, they're both very athletic fullbacks, both very intelligent fullbacks, too. It's just that nobody's ever used a fullback like Juszczyk before. Like, with some of the stunts that they use with him and like pulling him out, and it's unbelievable, and it just shows value of what you can have with a fullback.
It's Tom Rathman. You know?
Tom Rathman.
I love Tom Rathman.
I like Moose Johnson too, but he was much more of a just hit the line like a bulldozer, create a seam, so which is kind of old school.
Will Henderson. Know? Like a Will Henderson type, yeah.
That's what I was going to say, William Henderson, except William Henderson had that high step, the jump.
You jump over people. Yeah, he was crazy athletic.
God, it was the best.
If anybody doesn't remember him, it's the
Y button in Madden, you know. Nobody actually uses that except for William Henderson did, to his advantage numerous times. So
the only other couple of names that we want to talk about, Austin Hooper is a tight end. He seems to be the only real tight end anybody's talking about. If we get him to be great, I'm not going to hold my breath on getting Austin Hooper. He's a nice tight end. Not
a good tight end.
Not high end, so he's going to be cheaper than Jimmy Graham. And, you know, maybe you get about the same value, and he's going to be a guy who can do stuff, but he's not going to light everything up. I know Aaron wanted to talk about the other thing that goes all around Twitter, which is Odell Beckham Jr.
It's been Orlovsky was talking about it on ESPN, I guess it was this morning, and whatever that show that he does with Greenberg. And because... Green Bay Packer Daily retweeted it, and without trying to sound like too much of a jerk, because we, as I've stated, I don't fact check as much as I should, but I was looking into it, and somebody did bring up a couple things about him, is that some of the free agents this year are looking at between, you know, what was the guy? Who's the wide receiver's name? Oh, I can't think of it. Ah, it escapes me. Anyways, he's number two wide receiver, and he's looking for $15 million a year. Well, Odell Beckham Jr.'s contract is $15 million a year, and he can be a number one type wide receiver. And to be honest with you, if he was opposite Adams and Lazard was our number three wide receiver, I would feel much better.
Are you thinking Robbie Anderson?
Yeah, that's who it was.
I did hear that, I guess. Yes.
Yeah, Anderson was that. Thank you. God, thank you. Yeah, no, he's asking for 15 right off the bat, which means he'll probably make 12. But either way, I'm just saying, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. and OBJ, as the kids call him, and Adams have two different skill sets entirely, and I think it wouldn't hurt. And everyone's like, I don't want the drama. Well, the drama was that he was in New York to start. And it, basically, if you have a personality and you're in New York, that's why Eli Manning did so well in New York for so long, because he doesn't have a big, flashy personality. He has a low-key Manning personality. And you know, and last year kind of showed he had a drama to start the season, but then as the season went along and all the other stuff that was going on in Cleveland, you didn't even hear of OBJ for the last like 6 weeks. Like, he just disappeared after wearing the $1 million watch out on the field. And you know, and plus with the Browns, there's no leadership there. The leadership is junk. You know, they fired the coach after 1 year. Their quarterback is a party boy. You send him up to Green Bay. There is no media in Green Bay. Sorry, all my friends up there, but I mean, like, there's not the big hot burner media up there. You're not going to have the cameras on him all the time. And plus, you have, no matter how big your ego is and how big your personality is, you will never match Aaron Rodgers. So you will not be the biggest ego in the room, no matter what. So, I mean, that'll knock him down a couple pegs too. So I'm all for it. If they can make it work, sure, go ahead. As long as they're not giving up too much for it, you know. So,
like I said, here are the other people who are actually available as free agency right now, with the fact that they're going to put the franchise tag is going on AJ Green. Mm-hmm. Take him off that list then. Emmanuel Sanders, Devin Funchess, Paul Richardson, Taylor Gabriel, Amari Cooper, he's definitely not going to actually hit anywhere. Randall Cobb, Travis Benjamin, Brashad Perriman, Chester Rogers, Robbie Anderson, Demaryius Thomas, Philip Dorsett, Jarius Wright.
About three of those guys I would have loved to have like 5 years ago.
Yeah, Nelson Aguilar.
Of course they're going to franchise tag AJ Green. They're drafting Joe Burrow. They need someone for Joe Burrow to throw to, because if they let AJ Green go, it's...
And as we mentioned last week, Corey Coleman, Laquan Treadwell, also available. Yeah, there's nothing there, and a lot of those guys are going to stay there till after the draft because it's so wide receiver deep. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll move on then from Packers talk. We're going to get into kind of the mainstay of what's been going on recently here. Bucks had a massively busy week. Last time you and I talked, we had a Monday game. It was the overtime game with the Wizards, and that one went, that's a game we thought was just going to be in hand, and that game got out of hand, and then had to go to overtime before they got that one put away. Giannis didn't play that game. Middleton put up 40, right? And Bradley Beal had 55, I think, in that game. Middleton missed a couple plays down the stretch, but came up big in the overtime. Then they went to Toronto on a back-to-back road games, you know, Monday, Tuesday road games, Washington, then Toronto. And they just put Toronto down. They got ahead of them right away and stayed ahead of them and just buried them, with Drake being the clown on the sideline that he is. They shut him up, which is so great, because I can't stand him. He's so obnoxious.
He's like the 13th largest. He's like the 13th biggest seller of albums of all time, and that makes me sick to my stomach, by the way.
Sure.
Anyhow.
Yeah, but he showed up with a belt. Part of that is because, of course, if you watch the Bucks, you know that they do a WWE style fire you up sort of thing before every game, And he did that to try to troll the Bucks, and then dropped the, this isn't Washington thing. We're like, right, because Washington played us to overtime, and you didn't.
Right.
He's obnoxious. Then the Bucks got a couple days off, and they destroyed OKC. And Aaron and I like OKC, generally speaking, because it's a small market team that's the only thing they've got. They're like the Green Bay of the NBA. You're like, who wants a team there? Nobody in the media wants a team in OKC.
No, and the whole reason why OKC had a team was because at the time the New Orleans Hornets had to play in Oklahoma after Hurricane Katrina, I think is what it was. One of the hurricanes, pushed the New Orleans team out. And at the time, it was still the New Orleans Hornets. And they played in OKC for the rest of the season, and the NBA was so impressed by them when Seattle wanted to move, that's why they moved them there. And so it's awesome. And who can forget, you know, they should have been the greatest team ever. They had Durant.
They had Durant and they had Westbrook and they had Harden.
Thank you. Who two of them are now on the Houston Rockets, you know, and I mean, and they took the heat all the way in the finals, you know, and they should have been a dynasty, but they couldn't hold it together. And now they got Chris Paul, who whatever. And I'm angry with ESPN. I have to use some other words, but I know this is a G-rated show. So ESPN, whatever their thing is, like, they go out of their way to make sure that they show bad clips of Giannis on their Twitter all the time. And they showed one where Chris Paul, like, just let Giannis shoot a three, like, backed up and let him shoot it. And he missed it. And then, like, the cry emoji, like, laughing cry emoji. And it's like, why does ESPN go out of its way to make fun? They do this after every game, too. Like, they go out of their way to make fun of one of their biggest stars.
Well, and the other thing is, Giannis went 2-for-4 from three in that game. They showed one of his two misses from three. Meanwhile, then, of course, Bucks fans have answered by creating several looks of games where Harden shoots below 50% from three, because that's what everybody else does.
Right.
They actually have very similar three-point success, just Harden shoots way more three-pointers.
Yeah, he just hucks up a lot more of them. And the thing is, he had over 30 points in 27 minutes, and the Bucks were up by 50 points at one point in that game. How you could make fun of the Bucks for any part of that game is unbelievable. I mean,
he didn't even play the fourth.
63-110 at one point. Like, it was just a drubbing. Like,
it was an absolute destruction of that team. And it was just like, you know, that Paul.
I lost interest. I stopped watching in the third quarter because it was the Bucks were winning that much. And that's been, I've heard that from other Bucks fans. Like, well, let's not look a gift horse in the mouth, but my God, like, they're taking, like, playoff teams from the West and just beating them so bad it's not even fun to watch anymore. Like,
I mean, they are. I mean, it's not like they were beating up on some hapless team. The Thunder, I believe, are the sixth seed right now point.
Yeah.
So it's like, they destroyed them. 133-86. It's the final. I mean, and I love watching Thanasis Antetokounmpo get 6 points, and Sterling Brown got 3 points in this game, and it's like DJ Wilson's on the floor. This is fantastic. He ended with six.
I don't think there was a single player on the Bucks that didn't play in that game.
I don't think
they had a DNP.
They had eight deep on the bench. All of them played, and all of them scored. Sterling Brown played 24 minutes and had 3 points. He was the low scorer in the entire game because there are three bench players with double digits, and the rest of them are 6 or 7 points. So they just got ahead of them and killed them. The other things, then, they had a couple of rough games down the stretch. They played Charlotte in a really close game in a back-to-back. Charlotte yesterday and then tonight, losing to Miami, and Miami at the back end of a double game like that. So they played back-to-back games, both road games. And ended up finally losing one.
You were just saying that last week when we were doing our podcast, that was the overtime game. That was 5 games ago, and it's been 1 week. They played 5 games in 7 days, 8 days, I guess, actually, if you do the math correctly. But
Washington, Toronto, OKC, Charlotte, Miami.
Right, and back on the road, back to backs twice in 1 week. With just a stop back home to play the Thunder and demolish them. And yeah, so the Charlotte game, the bigger thing about the Charlotte game was two big things. Giannis had a 40-point, 20-rebound, 5-assist game. That's the only time it's ever happened in franchise history since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did it way back in the early 70s. And then I want to say it's the first time I had it up here, and I'm not going to go looking for it again, but I want to say it's the first time it's been done in like 20 years or something like that, yeah, too. It's
41,
been a long
20
time.
And 6 was his final stat line, and that was without Middleton. Didn't play that game against Charlotte.
Right.
Had some issues.
So it was a huge game for Giannis, but he scored almost half the points for the team, and that broke the Bucks' triple-digit streak, which you're about to say the game tonight, too.
Yes.
So they actually have had back-to-back games under 100 now after they 83 straight games with 100 points or more. Only the Denver Nuggets in 81-82 had 136 games, and the Spurs had 129 games in 78-80. So, I mean, that's the third longest 100-point streak in history, and then it stops with two under 100-point games. But what a brutal schedule, like back-to-back on the road. And Miami's a legit team, and Toronto's a legit team. You know, I guess you could say Charlotte and Charlotte and Washington are kind of cupcakes. But, you know, either way, that's a lot of travel. And you'd almost be better off, like, not having that game at home against the Thunder. But, I mean, that's a lot of games real quick. And it doesn't let up soon for them. So,
no, yeah, they got a tough stretch coming here.
You know, we just said, you know, it's watching them beat up on teams so bad that games get boring. You know, you kind of take for granted how good this team is. Like, let's not look this gift horse in the mouth. Like, let's enjoy this. That, and then when they have a clunker, don't worry about it. Because even Golden State, when they went 73-9, they had like one or two clunker games in there. It happens. But, you know, let's just enjoy in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Bucks Nation, Bucks fans, let's enjoy this.
Yeah.
Let's not, if anything bad happens, like tonight's game where they lost to the
Miami Heat.
Miami Heat, and Giannis only gets 13 points, let's just don't worry about it. Let's enjoy it, because you know what? We haven't had this ever in my lifetime. not since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was Cassius Clay.
No.
Anyways.
No, he was never Cassius Clay.
No, since he was Lou Alcindor.
But Muhammad Ali was Cassius Clay.
Yeah. I know. That was the joke. You were supposed to laugh. But
I know. I'm doing this for the people who don't know that some of us know that, or any kids who don't know who either of those people are.
But, I mean, that was before we were born. That was 8 years before we were born, you know.
Yeah,
so
their parents probably didn't even watch him either.
I mean, we had the Sigma years in the 80s, but, you know.
Frank Brickowski.
Let's enjoy this, people. You know, enjoy this.
Remember, right now, the Bucks are 52-9, it looks like. So they've played 61 games. So there are 21 games left in this season. The Bucks are 9.5 clear of Toronto with 21 to play. They are still 13 ahead of Miami, who just beat them. Yeah. I mean, like.
They're on pace to be in rarefied air. As far as record goes, like with Golden State's 73-9, the Bulls 70-12, you know, like it's going to be up there. Like if they crack 70, if you crack 70, you're a one of a kind team. Like, and they don't have much room for error. They can only lose three more games and still crack 70.
There's only like three teams that have done that.
There's only like 10 teams that have ever won more than 67 games in a year. Yeah. I mean, this Bucks team is going to go down in history as one of the best teams ever in the regular season. Now, what they can do in the postseason is a completely different matter.
Yeah, but we end up not being a 70-win team because we rest Giannis and we make sure that Middleton and Brooke Lopez are ready, because I really want to make sure that's there, because I like how they can load manage Lopez by putting in Lopez, because Robin Lopez has played phenomenally this year, I think, coming off the bench. Has played great defense, and he's actually doing very well offensively inside. Brooke's doing great defensively, and he's been, you know, more of a shooter. Like he doesn't go to the rim as much as it seems Robin does. I don't know if there's just, you know, it's just personality thing or because of what they're asking from them, but Brooke takes more outside shots. And Robin has been playing very well inside, and I've been very excited to see that. Wesley Matthews has been very nice here recently, getting somebody else who can get some of those shots outside and playing pretty good defense. So, yeah, a lot of players, and getting quality minutes from Connington and DiVincenzo too. Like, mm-hmm. real good quality. They're quick. They move to the ball. They play with tenacity.
The thing is, with Connington and DiVincenzo, DiVincenzo's gotten a lot better. They're dang near the same player.
Yes.
The Lopez's are dang near the same player. It's like they have duplicates of, you know, like DiVincenzo's just a little bit not as good as Connington, and Robin Lopez is not quite as good as Brooke, but they're so similar that you can rest them and basically get the same person back out on the court. And it's like that in a couple different other places too. And I almost think that Coach Bud, who's really played to the strengths of Brooke Lopez, who Brooke Lopez, I think, is still the all-time leading scorer in Nets history or something like Probably. That. I don't think Robin Lopez was ever used like his brother was. Like, they're twins, you know, they're the same dimensions and everything. And I think that Robin's actually, you can tell he's starting to play like his brother almost a little bit. Like, and that's a good thing. Like, it's crazy to think that it's the twins, it's another twin experiment. Like, how can two people who are genetically exactly the same be so much different, you know, or are they more like than you'd think they would be? So, I mean, I hope Robin catches up to his brother, because if we have two Brooke Lopez's out there, buckle up.
Yeah, like I said, Robin's been a big step up for me in what I expected from him and what we have been getting. The biggest thing the Bucks have going for them, the biggest thing going just the Bucks have that makes them the team to be most afraid of is that bench is really good. When you've got Robin Lopez, George Hill, Pat Connington, and Ilyasova coming off the bench. It's like, man, that's...
Hey, help me out here, didn't we think we were losing Ilyasova? Like, he was going to go back to Europe this year, and then he came back.
Yeah.
He's played well.
Yeah, okay. It's been great. So, I mean, like, it's been... Like I said, this bench, the depth, every one of them can score, and everyone can play, and they all buy into defense, too. So, it's fantastic.
And Hill's a perfect example of the veteran that's past his prime but still has enough in the tank that if you're not using him as a starter, like, he can come off the bench and give you what he did in his prime for short spurts.
Right.
To rest your starters. And that's great. Like, he can play like Bledsoe for shorts amount of time. You know, shorts amount of time. Okay, we'll use that.
Sure.
He doesn't have the biceps of Bledsoe, but I mean, he can do that kind of stuff. You know, it's like, as long as you're not running him out there for 40 minutes a game, you'll be fine. And the leadership that he brings, having been around for a while, is more than invaluable. So, and you can tell he likes being there. Like, that's,
they have a lot of fun on this team. They look like they just genuinely enjoy each other, and everything about that should be enjoyed and valued. For Bucks fans this week, if you don't watch a lot, you should watch Friday. You should watch Friday because there's going to be Bucks Lakers in LA. Mm-hmm. Should be a big one. ESPN is going to play it up to being something bigger than what it is. They're going to say that it's like whoever wins gets the MVP kind of talk, which is garbage because. People keep saying, like, Giannis is the better player, and statistically and realistically, I think in a vacuum he is, but with the Kobe stuff, I don't see how LeBron doesn't get the MVP at this point, right?
I don't like the X factor in the equation that, well, what he's doing at 35, nobody's ever done at 35. Well, so what? Like, age doesn't – you can't factor age into, like, who's the better player. Like, I'm sorry. Like – just because he's doing what he's doing at 35, that's very impressive. Like, I don't believe me. I wish I was at 35. I could have been doing stuff like that, especially with the amount of wear on the tires that LeBron James has. I have nothing but respect for LeBron James.
Oh, like, no. I'm not saying he's not great. He's definitely there. And if he wins, you shouldn't be surprised because he's great.
No, he's having a great season, but I'm just like the argument that, well, he's doing this at 35, and while he doesn't have as good a stats as Giannis, he's doing this at 35. Well, that's age profiling. Like, you're giving him multiplier points because he's older.
Well, is he better than Giannis? Tony Kornheiser on his own podcast, which is not an ESPN affiliate podcast, he said one of the reasons he would give it to LeBron is, first off, LeBron just is the best player, and he's like, you could have given it to him any other number of years that he didn't get it. Yep. And also, he's like, he completely changed his game to make sure that Anthony Davis was the star on that team.
Right. And if you, which if you give me the argument that LeBron James changed, he's listed as a point guard now, okay, which means he really can't leave the floor because he is the point guard for the Lakers. And if you want to give me that argument why he's MVP, then I'll take that. If you want to give me the argument that they weren't a playoff team last year and now they're going to be number one in the West probably, I'll take that argument. Don't give me the age argument, okay? Yeah,
but that is because, just saying because, adding Anthony Davis makes you the best player in the league, which
right.
That's no. I mean, that can't be the reason. It can't be the winning because it's because you got somebody else.
Yeah, but the changing positions bit, that I mean, I'll listen to that all day. And plus, yeah, how many times should he have been MVP, but they didn't just because they had to give it to somebody else because he could have legitimately been the MVP 12 years in a row.
Yeah, I wouldn't be upset either way.
Did he get hurt 1 year?
Not terribly. I mean, he's been here.
Oh, that was last year he got hurt. That was
he ended the season.
Extended time. For... That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's a warhorse. Like, while everybody else is getting load management, like, he's still playing every game. And like I said, he just got stepped up to being point guard, which means he can't leave the court as much, you know? Yeah. Yeah. And he's always running, you know? So it's, I mean, I get it, but
he doesn't go to the rim as often is this big thing. Right. Cause he's trying to make sure Davis gets the scoring. Cause he wants him to come back next year.
And you know, if you listen to James Harden anyways, Giannis doesn't have any talent anyways. So, you know, whatever, to which I just posted the gif of him getting beamed in the face by Giannis's fastball again last year at about 20 different places on Twitter.
Well, one thing I keep pointing out is like, you know what? Real players who work on their skill watch enough film to know that Giannis doesn't just run down the floor and dunk every time. I was like, come on, man. Like, what an idiot.
No, he's literally involved. And the thing is, too, so James Harden's been playing AAU ball in American basketball since he was 8. Giannis is literally evolving his game in front of us. Like, his talent far outweighs his abilities at this point because he literally came to the States to learn how to play real basketball. His first real basketball games were in the NBA because before that he was playing at a glorified YMCA in Greece. And so he's had to learn against NBA players. He didn't come up with other NBA players. Like, he's going to be raw because we're watching him grow. Like, he's still probably at like 75% of his abilities.
Yeah. All right. Trying to keep us a little bit on track here. We're going to have to move on here time-wise. The Badgers had a very good week. They didn't play nearly as many games as the Bucks did, but the Badgers gave us one incredibly fun game against Michigan on the road in Ann Arbor against the number 19, now the number 25 ranked Michigan Wolverines. Just Dimitri Trice lit the game up. He just massively outplayed them. And this is kind of what you look for. I mean, he has been playing, we'll be saying this, like, he has started playing very well with Micah Potter and a couple of the other players. He's been getting way better, turning down his turnovers, increasing his assists over the last month or two. And a lot of it is just that this team has really come to trust a lot of people on this team, and they have really started to believe in themselves. And Dimitri Trice doesn't feel like he has to take over games as much, but he did take over this one because because it worked in the way the game flowed. And that's the biggest advance we've seen in Trice in a while. This is who we were hoping him to turn into more in the last couple years. And I think over the last couple years, though, he's felt like he had to take over games. I don't think he feels that now because, like I've said, Reavers has been a very steady factor in most games. He's had some down games and up games. He has no longer been the guy who is the steady, always leading team in scoring. It's been passed around by so many other people. Davison and Trice and Potter have all been leading scorers. Aleem Ford has even been a leading scorer recently. And they've been able to let Reavers be a guy who is the solid force in the middle, playing good defense, making plays, getting the ball to the basket, and able to make the 3 points work, doing their dirty stuff inside, being the talent that draws the defense in, and allowing the rest of the offense to work. Trice keeps drawing a lot of people towards the double teams where they keep fighting through, setting up a lot better passes. He's been seeing the floor so well. Against Michigan, he puts up 28. He had 4 assists. But, I mean, he really did just keep them ahead. I believe the Badgers are now like 4-5 on the road in the Big Ten. Like, mm-hmm. nobody has good records in Big Ten except for apparently Michigan State now, I think, is 6-4, if I remember correctly.
Of course they are.
That team always builds to the end.
It's the only Michigan State team that I have any level of respect for, albeit a little bit low because I like their coach. But otherwise, yeah, it's the only Michigan. And speaking of, I was just talking about with Giannis, we're watching him evolve in front of us, right? Evolve and learn. Like, it's almost like watching this Badgers basketball team evolve and learn because, I mean, we were at wit's end, or at least you were, about 6 weeks ago. Like, what's going on? What was it, Reavers? Was it Reavers or Trice had, like, a zero-point game? I think it was Reavers. And you're like, they're lost. Like, you don't know what's going on. And you've got the fire guard sign up. Who, that guy's got to probably feel like an ass at this point right now.
To be clear, I never called for firing guard.
No, not you. I'm saying whoever put the sign up in the dorms in Madison, like, because guard has evolved this team right in front of us into a top. They're in the top 25 now, finally, thank God. Because, I mean, they were, you show the standings and, you know, they're number two and there's three, four ranked teams underneath them. And yeah, that game against Michigan was the first Badgers basketball game that my schedule has allowed me to actually sit and watch, like from wire to wire, from beginning to end, you know, because otherwise, you know, you just try and catch which you can, you know, you're a family man, I'm a family man. Very rarely do you actually get to sit down. You know, I get 16 times a year plus playoffs to sit and watch a whole game, and that's Packer games, and that's it. So, and I use those like
judiciously,
like, yeah, judiciously. But I, however, my daughter wanted to watch the Badgers play basketball, and she sat there and watched them play the whole game, and it was great. And actually, you're right, Trice looked amazing in that game. It was really good, and it was a big test for them too, and I'm glad they took the wood to them, you know. And so, you know, they've beaten Purdue, which isn't much, but Rutgers, Michigan, and Minnesota now in the last week, and it's been fun to watch.
Still only have one loss since Kobe King left so that he could go to Nebraska. Because he didn't like, and the quote was something along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing his quote, but it was, he just feels Wisconsin was using him to win basketball games. You're like, well, you don't have to worry about that now. You can go to Nebraska where nobody will be trying to use you to win basketball games.
And they don't win basketball games in Nebraska.
That's why.
Oh. Yeah. I do love their sweet Nebraska ball logo, so.
It's nice. I like Lincoln. Lincoln's fun.
Do you remember when Nebraska used to be good at sports?
Well, they're good at several. They're still very good at volleyball and wrestling.
Yeah, they're still good at wrestling too, I'm sure. Yeah.
So anyhow, but the other game, What I'm saying is I did not get to sit down and watch the Minnesota game yesterday because I had to watch it on my phone. I was walking around the house doing chores, doing other things, but I had the game on with me as I went because I live in the future and I can watch games on a small handheld device on my phone.
I was watching NASCAR. Fabulous.
That's fair. This game was ridiculous.
We could do a whole NASCAR portion if you wanted to, but I would subject you to that. I'm a closet NASCAR fan, sorry. Anyways, yes. Yeah. So you're watching the Minnesota game on your phone while cleaning your house, and
it was the worst officiated game of college basketball I may have ever watched. At 6 minutes into the second half, the Badgers were already into bonus. They may have been at a double bonus by then. It was ridiculous. Both teams were in double bonus for like the last 10 minutes of that game. It went on forever. Every ticky-tack play was getting whistled. And I tweeted out something about like, this is like a bunch of just ACC refs out here calling every ticky-tack thing they can. It's ridiculous. And a fake ACC refs Twitter account came at me, and they're like, hey, forget you, basically. But I looked them up. While they have the ACC logo on their little thing there, if you actually looked them up, the large photo at the top is just a picture of a garbage can. So it's like these guys are great. They get it.
Without sidebarring too far, I saw that UConn is going back to the Big East next year.
That is true. I heard that during a Marquette game the other day. We were talking about UConn going back into the Big East. I don't know where they'll go for football, what they're going to do with football. So,
well, I mean, so because it was the ACC that stole all the teams from the Big East pretty much, right?
Yeah, that started everything there. That was
I would love to see the Big East come back for basketball, man. The Big East used to be so cool. Like,
it's still good.
It was the cool kid. It was the cool basketball conference because that's all they were good at. There was nothing else good came out of the Big East, but they were the metropolitan New York schools. They were Marquette. They were UConn. Well,
not initially. It wasn't Marquette. Initially, you know, it was like all those Eastern, like, well, that too, the yeah. A lot of them were the old Catholic non-football schools, you know, Georgetown, right. Syracuse, yeah. Which does have football, I understand, but right. Do they? You know, and
not really.
Seton Hall, those guys. It didn't have, you know, Marquette mm-hmm. and Creighton in it, but it did have, you know, all those other places.
But towards the end, when the Big East was like at the top of its powers, just before it crumbled, they did have Creighton and Marquette in there too. Like, it was super cool. Like, there was a lot of really good teams in the Big East.
Big East almost added San Diego State towards the end. Which is the greatest, because at one point it started getting so big and weird. I was like, well, east of, you know, the Pacific Ocean. And then yeah. they were going to add San Diego State. I'm like, nope, forget it. They've gone all the way. There's nothing yeah. you can do. They're on the ocean.
And then soon after that, they completely crumbled. Yeah, because they got just too big. Yeah.
They're talking about adding Boise State at one point, too. It was crazy.
Oh, my God.
It was a ridiculous conference. Can you imagine traveling your volleyball team from Seton Hall to San Diego State? for a regular matchup.
It wouldn't be that hard. You just go New York to Denver to San Diego. Could you imagine trying to get to Boise?
Yeah.
From New York? That'd be a three stop no matter how you do it.
Yeah. So anyhow, the Badgers.
Anyhow, bring you back.
Before going back to the Big East in a second here, but the Badgers are now one game out of first place in the Big Ten, which mm-hmm. is what nobody expected. I didn't. I tried to be realistic and everything too, but I never expected that, and I'll tell you, I never predicted that. I thought they were going to be a top half of the Big Ten, but right. you know, and they still might fall out of the top four. They really could. They do have a home game this week against the worst team in the Big Ten, which is Northwestern, right. and it will be Senior Day. Not Seniors Day, but Senior Day, otherwise known as Brevin Pritzel Day,
right?
Which they're going to have pretzels. They said there will be pretzels because it'll be Pritzel Day because he's the only senior on this team.
Yeah, on the team, yes.
Everybody else is coming back next year on this team.
Welcome to college basketball in 2020, John.
Jeez, the only senior left on this team. So this whole team's coming back. But yeah, there were a couple just big plays.
Pritzel. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone but Pritzel is coming back. It was an entertaining game, and I did not think towards the end there how they were going to – I did not know there was a way they could find their way out of that game. But the Badgers found a way to win. Pritzel made a gigantic shot. Mm-hmm. On one he missed, the rebound comes out, Davison's trying to get to it, it ends up in Trice's hands, and then if you go watch the slow motion stuff that keeps showing up, one of the Gopher players just runs Davison over, throws him to the ground as if he were a Minnesota hockey player. It was crazy, just throwing him to the ground, and you know, of course that didn't get called, but down the stretch the Badgers got Minnesota missed two free throws, and then the Badgers were up by three at that point. And Micah Potter gets the rebound and is called for something. I don't even know what, but he is just beside himself. Just everybody trying to calm him down. He's not yelling at the refs, but he is just furious. And
I've been there.
Because you have no idea what it was. I watched it. I still don't know what they called him for because it's ridiculous. He just jumps up and grabs the ball at one point and blew a whistle. It was the most ridiculously efficient game I've probably ever seen. I can't think of anything else like it. Both teams were in double bonus for, it seemed, at least half the second half. It was crazy. It was free throws everywhere. And the worst part is Minnesota in the first half was 0-for-0 from free throw line. Why? Because the Badgers weren't playing dirty. Minnesota was chasing them down, was getting after them late. I mean, they're trying to play a lot of defense in this one and stick with it. But in doing so, like, they ended up getting a lot of fouls in the first half and then started getting a lot of fouls to start off the second half. They were ahead like 9-4, like 6 minutes into the second half. And then they just started calling everything. And it just got so out of hand. And the game went on forever because of it. It was terrible. But we did mention the Big East.
And what you were saying, too, about, you know, with where the Badgers are right now, it is – you know, they're riding a 6-game win streak right now. I mean, going into this in the conference play, they would have been 6-6 going into this win streak. And they are number two right now behind Maryland. And you almost get scared about this Northwestern game. Like, Northwestern's so bad, of course they're going to lose the game because we're from Wisconsin and that's what we expect of our teams. But but in conference, I mean, Maryland's 13-5, and the cream of the crop, they're 23-6 overall. But I mean, the 2-6 in conference teams are Wisconsin, Michigan State, Illinois, and then Iowa's 11-7, Penn State's 11-7, and Ohio State's 10-8. Like, the Badgers are literally just two bad games away from dropping from second all the way down to seventh.
Yeah.
And of course, they have one more overall loss. So, you know, their conference record is what's floating them up to the top right now. Yeah. Are they going to make the tournament unless they completely bomb the end of the season? Of course they're going to make the tournament. So
Lunardi has them as a four right now, I think.
Right.
A four or five.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have to. I mean, they're number 24 in the country. I mean, so if you do the math, I mean, there's going to be all the number threes. That's 3, 6, 9, 12, and then, you know, a couple others. Yeah, plus, you know, they're at the top of, you know, and who knows what the Big Ten tournament's going to bring.
Yeah.
You know, Minnesota might show up. I mean, Minnesota might show up and win the tournament. You don't know, because Minnesota's not that much worse than everybody else. They just find a way to lose. You know, it's but that's how the Big Ten is this year. Ohio State might win it, you know, because they're probably the most talented quote unquote team in the conference. But I mean, yeah, it's going to be interesting down the road. I just hope Wisconsin keeps winning. I hope Greg Gard has them grounded enough. That's a lot of alliteration. Greg Gard grounded enough that they you know, pull off this win against Northwestern, because they need to win these games at this point if they're going to stay where they're at and maybe even overtake Maryland in conference standings.
Yeah. So, Greg Gard, get them grounded and get going to grind out victories. Grind out games.
Oh, I love them Packers. Man.
Anyhow, the Big East we mentioned a little bit ago, Seton Hall, now the number 8 ranked Seton Hall Pirates, 13-3 in the Big East. Why is that important? Wow. Because they're 13-3 on the backs of the Marquette Golden Eagles, as they just beat them this last week here. Mm-hmm. Marquette now 8-8. They basically just stayed 500 because they beat up on Georgetown, and then predictably, of course, lost to Seton Hall. Yep. Seton Hall is going to walk away. They're two games ahead of Creighton and Villanova. Those are the three ranked teams right now. It's 8th ranked Seton Hall, 11th Creighton, 14th Villanova. Those are some of the tough games Marquette played recently too, because mm-hmm. They were doing pretty well. They got ranked. They were up to like 19, I believe, recently even. And then, yeah, had a rough row where they had Villanova and Creighton. And now they just played Seton Hall. They also had that rough loss to Providence, where Providence just hit everything.
Right.
They bounced back. They played Georgetown. And, I mean, it just seems like there's just moments where some of the other players there, the players around Howard, don't always have the confidence to try to take over something. There's nobody else who can take over a game but him. If they need mm-hmm. somebody to step up, if they start falling down, they need him to just lead them and just make things happen for them. And sometimes then you can see it looks like they just simplify the offense a little bit and just try to get him open looks. And he has been playing great, but yeah, it's, I don't know. They need to find some other way to getting more talent on this team. I mean, they're not going to have him next year. And they're going to have to find a way to stay competitive in this conference. Yeah.
NCAA college eligibility rules will not allow him to be back next year.
No. Yeah.
But he is a senior. He's
getting in the way. Yeah. Yeah. He's a senior.
Are they going to serve pretzels on his senior day?
No. There's no fun confectionery named a Howard or anything close to Howard, because it's not even pretzel. If there was something called a Howard or a Heward.
A Howard hoagie.
We're just stretching. There's nothing there.
Where's the mute button?
There's nothing there. We're just dead with it. Yeah.
Hey, before we get off basketball, though, so hey, did Dayton used to be part of the Big East?
No, I think they've always been A-10.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
All I know is that that's where Dan Patrick played basketball.
And they're what, number 4 right now?
Number 3 on number an 18-game winning streak. You know, the only two teams ahead of them are Gonzaga at number 2 and Kansas at number 1, yeah, who's on a 14-game winning streak. Those are typical national powers, but like looking at this top 25 is it's like crazy. We're in bizarro land. I mean, Dayton's number three, Baylor, who's always been a decent football school, is number four. San Diego State, number five. Kentucky, number six. Okay, whatever. Florida State, sure. Seton Hall, back up in the top 10 for the first time in ever. Maryland, number nine. Louisville, 10. You know, the only normal people in that top 10 are Louisville, Kentucky, Gonzaga, and Kansas, right?
Maryland. Maryland's kind of one of those. In and out, I guess.
And Florida State's one of those one of those athletic schools that sneaks people in every once in a while. But just outside the top 10, Creighton's at 11. I mean, Duke's 12.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's like I said, it's bizarro land.
It's been fun to watch. It's going to be an interesting tournament. Mm-hmm. The only little bit that we'll say with Brewers before we go into our last call is to say that still spring training. Arcia continues to be swinging a hot bat, looking good. Smokes look pretty good. Quietly having some good times this last week. Logan Morrison playing some left field out there. He's had a couple good games. And Freddie Peralta, also quietly doing very well this year, looking good. That's great for the Brewers since they just extended him. Those are good things here. And I am working on somebody to come talk to us before we get into Brewers season to try to get us a little more prepared than what we normally are in terms of Brewers talk. All right.
Right.
That should do it for that. We're going to try speed through the last little bit of our Wisconsin news here in what we call the last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
Okay, so nothing huge here. We'll say the Badger men actually continued to have a great end of the regular season. Badger men's hockey. They had a 3-2 win over Ohio State on the road at Ohio State in what I believe is the Value City Arena. I think that's where they play.
I think you're right, but yeah. Yes.
Then they had a 3-3 tie. They were down 3-1, came back in the third, tied it. Big Ten rules state that because it's NCAA, there's one overtime played and then it is considered a tie. So it goes down as a tie on the record sheet, but they continue playing for the extra point in the Big Ten play. There is a winner in terms of conference standings, but not in terms of their actual NCAA record. So it goes down as a tie, but in double overtime, the Badgers get the win and the extra point. So the Badgers actually, if you look at the Big Ten rankings, basically ended up in their last six games, played six straight against top 10 ranked opponents. They won four of those six, lost one, and tied one, which was actually a win. They played great down the stretch. Caulfield, I believe, ended the season as the top goal scorer in hockey, which is the first time since Mark Johnson. It's like, that's been a minute. It's been a little while here.
Who's Mark Johnson?
Oh, geez.
I'm not from Madison, man.
He's an Olympian. One of the all-time Badgers goal scorer leader. He's the coach of the women's team.
There we go.
So he's also one of the all-time winning coaches in women's hockey history. Maybe he might be the all-time winning leading coach. Speaking of Mark Johnson's women's hockey team, they haven't had to play because the WCHA tournament doesn't need the number one seed to play in the first week. They will play UMD next week in what is a ridiculous WCHA semifinal setup, as number two Wisconsin and number three Minnesota will face off against was it number five UMD and number six? Was it Ohio State? Let me double check who they got here. Yeah, Ohio State. So Minnesota is the three against the number five Ohio State. Number two Wisconsin will play number eight Minnesota Duluth. That will set that up. In terms of D3 hockey, St. Norbert over in De Pere, they beat the other two Wisconsin teams in the NCHA tournament. They beat Lawrence in two games. And then in the one-game playoff, they beat Marion out of Fond du Lac. So now the currently 11th-ranked St. Norbert Green Knights will take on Adrian in Michigan at the Arrington Ice Arena in Adrian, Michigan. In other news, also the WIAC men's hockey, UWSP, will play UW-Eau Claire in a battle of top 10 teams, the winner almost certainly getting into the national tournament. Those games will be this weekend, I believe, at KB Willett, otherwise known as the Madhouse on Minnesota Avenue. So that should be a good one as the Pointers and the Blue Golds face off for a chance to go to the national national tournament. That's really all we have for those.
Well, hey, John, before we move off that D3, so besides the Madhouse, from Catlin Avenue in Superior, Wisconsin, Eau Claire, of course, beat UW Superior to get to where they're at. And I just want to say a nice thing about so I came from UW Superior. I worked at KUWS, which is the radio station. It's Wisconsin Public Radio, but we also did college radio at night. And it's also the home of Yellow Jacket Hockey. And I worked there for years. I called football games for Superior High School. I was a DJ. I worked on air for a number of years in the Twin Ports area. But one of the things I did was I used to board op for hockey games. And the voice of when I first started there, the voice of Yellow Jacket Hockey was John Munson, the station director, a legend in the business. You can hear him on Madison Radio all the time. He fills in for Kathleen Dunn. I don't know how much he does anymore now that he's in retirement per se. But the guy who has taken over for him is John Garver. And with the end of the Yellow Jacket season, that was the end of his 21st season as the radio voice of Yellow Jacket Hockey. The man's a consummate professional. He's unbelievable on the air. His calls are great. You don't need a visual to know what's going on with the game with him. And he's just a genuinely good guy. He's also the sports information director for, unless he's been promoted recently, but when I was still living up in Superior 2 years ago, he was still the sports information director for UW Superior. I want to congratulate him on all just being, I mean, he's got to be one of the most tenured voices of any college hockey team in the country. And he's really good. I mean, If he didn't love UW Superior, I could imagine he could be good for anybody, like all the way up to the pro levels. Like, he's easy to listen to. His goal calls are awesome. John Garver, I love you. It's been way too long. And God bless you, man. Congratulations on 21 years. So there you go, John. That's all I had.
Yeah. In terms of the one other sport that we do sometimes talk about here, wrestling, Wisconsin remains ranked number 14. They moved down from 12 in the last poll. We didn't talk about it last week. Minnesota at 13. National championships will be up in 2 weeks here. So we'll let you know when we have finals on that. You know, it's not one that Wisconsin's likely to win. Iowa currently getting every first place vote. And Penn, they are 13-0. Penn State second, North Carolina third, Nebraska in fourth.
Is Lock Haven still 0-0?
I don't even know. Yeah, they never wrestle. They're just ranked.
They just ranked.
Just wanted to get that little bit in there because we hadn't talked about them in a little bit, just to get at least on there. But thank you again for joining us again. It's been another wonderful week, another great week of Wisconsin sports. Getting ready here for two more games for the Badgers, a couple more here for Marquette, and then we will start having conference championships. Get ourselves ready for some real March Madness and start winding up the last 21 games of an NBA season and getting ready for a draft. And we are starting to try to work ourselves out of doldrums here, people. We are working ourselves out of this. All right.
Not that we can't. Not, for some reason, whenever we're in the abyss, somehow we have the longest shows of the year. I don't know.
It's wonderful because we can still find things to talk about. We should have some guests coming up next week in the next 2 weeks here at least. So keep your eyes out for that. And again, you can follow the show at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host. You can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk. Remember to follow us wherever you do find good podcasts, including iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Play, or wherever else. Remember to subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us, or at least rate and review us. And the download, of course. And remember, of course, that whether you are on the town or on the go, it is always on Wisconsin.
This one's for you, John Garver.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or...